Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Erie House Radio. Nobody can hear him at the moment. You're all stuck with me. There's Dale. It shows that he's dead. Dale, are you there? It's the Razor. The Razor effect for Dale. And Dale is not in. He dropped out again. And Dale actually even tried to, he was using his direct connect, and that didn't work. Oh, and now we're, they're not connected. So you guys can hear me good. This is going to be a really strange show for a while. We're fighting the aliens, and we've only got two shows because one of them's about 40 minutes long, and the other one is not. But we have trouble sneaking in three whole shows, so we're loaded with bear for some extra programs. I think I hear Gar on there, but I don't think he's really hearing us very well.
I hear you now. I don't know what happened, but now okay. I hear you. Hello, Dave. Boy, boy. There you go.
Gar! Thank goodness
Dave.
You're back.
Gar! you were going, oh, my gosh, me all alone?
Well,
I
got to get Dale to call back in and turn the show. And the show is running, and the show is recording, but Dale's got to call back in as the host in order to make sure we save it properly. Anyway, with all that fun out of the day, we are fighting the aliens. Aliens from outer space today with both who we have here? An X minus one, right? Yes. And?
Yes.
A General Mills Adventure Theater program.
Yes. Dave, are you sure we aren't fighting the aliens right now?
We're fighting aliens or Blog Talk Radio, one or the other, buddy.
Let's make it simple. Blog Talk is an alien. How's that?
Well, okay, if that's true, then we are fighting aliens tonight right here on Eerie House Radio.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
Doing something a little different with General Mills Adventure Theater. I used to listen when it was on, during its run. I used to listen to it. It was on weekends on most of your CBS networks that carried the Radio Mystery Theater. It was for me, because again, it was like Mystery Theater. They could air it when they wanted to. They had to download it in the morning, then they could air it when they wanted to. They just had to make sure they aired it that day. So if they had a sports thing that knocked it late, then it just came on late. That happened to us a lot here in Akron area, where at the time, the Cleveland Indians would be out on the West Coast, so they wouldn't start till like 10 o'clock at night or 10:07 or what the heck time it is. And so it wouldn't go on until after the game. Those nights I would not hear the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Well, so they had a choice when to air it. And for me, here in Akron, it was aired on Friday and Saturday afternoons, I think about 5 o'clock. And it was just cool, little interesting thing. But I think this is the third one we played. At each one, I'm so disappointed because this was the General Mills Adventure Radio Theater, and it was cram-packed full of General Mills cereal ads. And none of the ones we've had, and I've looked all over for them, nobody has them. So I put those in tonight.
Yeah, and a weird thing, and this has been a weird thing for me since I was a kid, is so we used to have, and this is a sidebar, but it goes back to what you're saying about it airing in the afternoon, is that we had a horror movie host, and he would air Friday or Saturday, like near midnight, okay, nighttime. And then, I don't know what happened, he started showing up Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
And okay.
A good spooky, scary movie isn't as spooky or scary if it's daylight. It just isn't. And
no.
In listening to radio shows that are geared to be a little spooky and out there, having them on in the afternoon kind of takes the sharpness out of it.
It does. Trying to get back in here. You don't have nightmares with the lights on generally.
Physically, unless you're a day sleeper.
I hear Dale.
Yep, I don't.
Dale?
You are hearing me.
Oh, there he is.
You are hearing me. Yep. There
okay.
I am.
And so, Dave, I had some notes about the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater.
Absolutely.
And you and I had spoke about this earlier, but Hyman Brown added to his plate of stuff already going on because he was already producing CBS Radio Mystery Theater for the network. And now he added this. And this kicked off in 77, I believe.
February 5th, 77. Yep.
And ended in 78. And one of the weird reasons about that was General Mills, that was the cereal company that we know of, Cheerios and many other things, the Lucky Charms and who knows what. They were looking for an audience, but they weren't at less than television advertising. Because television advertising at that point in time, really expensive. Let's do radio. And so they aimed this program, the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater, to kids. They were really shooting for that demographic, that market. And they even advertised in comic books for this radio show. Crazy stuff.
Yes.
But after 52 episodes, about a year, General Mills said, okay, well, we tried. And they stopped being the sponsor, and the sponsorship continued with other companies. And they rebranded it the CBS Radio Adventure Theater, and they had a whole bunch of different sponsors.
But they were the same 52 episodes. So they did the 52 episodes. Then they repeated those 52 for a year, hoping to gain a national sponsorship. Actually, in recent memory, I didn't know at that time most things didn't have a single sponsorship until the Sirius Radio Theater came along, and they sponsored almost entirely sponsor of the Sirius Radio Theater, which is part of the reason they went out of business. Problem. I don't know. Yeah.
So with that, you had the Sears pots, pans, and auto care. Come on down. Throughout the entire zone, right?
Yep. Dale, are you still with us, buddy?
Man, I got back here just in time to say, got a whole lot of radio.
Actually, we don't, but we do. Lots of.
Our hero.
We're loaded up for bear with specials, that's for sure.
Yes. And we might as well start off with General Mills Adventure Theater.
Yep. And Dale, what I explained and you didn't hear, Dale, is I was always upset that we aired, this is like a third one, but none of them had the commercials in. So I inserted some commercials from General Mills cereals into these. So there you go.
Ooh, cool. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
That's one of them, yeah.
Cool. You guys remember?
It's called the
one
world.
Really quick. Oh, okay. Did we get an air date? Wait, what's happening?
We could use an air date.
Being beamed somewhere.
Oh. I've
got
one.
We can use an air date. You go ahead.
Oh, March 6, 1977.
In General Mills Radio Center. Welcome again to the magic world of radio, the world of wonder and imagination, the world not only of today, but of tomorrow. I'm Tom Bosley. We live on Earth, but beyond are the stars, and beyond the stars are infinite other universes. And we're not alone. And every so often, an alien wind blows in from another frontier to terrify us, because it is beyond our understanding. Our adventure story, The Other World, was written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jada Roland. I'll be back shortly.
Someone's come for a nutritious breakfast.
What?
Hello, my name is Boo. Let me finish. Booberry, my ghostly good blueberry-flavored cereal, Booberry, is part of this complete breakfast.
Boo to you, Billberry!
Frankenberry's got strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
Count Chocula's got chocolate marshmallows.
But I've got blueberry-flavored marshmallows.
Frankenberry!
Count Chocula!
And Booberry!
This is a let's suppose story. Let's suppose we have enough imagination not to be like our fathers and mothers. I mean, they tend to brush off the talk of other worlds. But the 20th century is catching up with them, and all of us. From here on in, anything is possible. So let's suppose you're Jenny Blake, not quite 16. Can you imagine this happening to you?
Hi, JJ.
Jenny, what are you doing in here? How'd you get past security into headquarters?
Easy, once you know the ropes. Where's my father?
Oh, up in Magna Control. Does he know you're wandering about in a security area?
Of course not. Who does?
You shouldn't be fooling around, Jenny.
Oh, don't worry about me. Nobody does.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
If my dad is smart enough to dream up this whole top-secret magic house here at the North Pole, don't you think his daughter is smart enough to figure out how to get past all the electronic surveillance?
Well, what are you telling me? You have a special gadget that offsets all the safety beams or a secret magnetic field that makes you invisible?
You're cute.
That's an answer?
That's a comment. You want an answer. I'm 15, going on 16, and I'm just small enough to duck under all the seeing eye beams.
Well, you're not kidding me, Jenny. You have some secret charm going for you.
It's about time you started to recognize it.
Will you quit it?
Oh, I just have to keep on needling you. So you'll remember to wait for me to grow up and be old enough for you. What's new on the scanner?
Well, nothing, thank the Lord.
What about out there? The other world?
No, we don't have to worry about them, thanks to your father. No way they can get through to us now that we've plug the hole in the donut.
Well, Alex,
not report.
They've closed off our one chance to conquer them, but I'll find a way.
We must. Our star is dying. We must have their planet to live, or we die too.
Why can we never solve our problem? Why do we have to absorb more moisture than any star can provide for long?
We do. By wandering to new worlds, so the planet called Earth must be ours if we are to survive.
What do you mean? Plug the hole in the donut, JJ?
Forget it. Right now, what's more important is how did you get into this complex without top secret clearance?
Easy. Daddy set it up.
He did? Why?
That's my business.
Okay. Okay, supposing I buy your story. Now, where's your security badge?
Right here.
Let me see. Okay, so far. But you're supposed to wear this where it can be seen.
I know. I just ducked it before I came through the door to put you on a little.
Well, it isn't funny. The lives of everyone on this planet depend on what's going on here. Now, where's your radiation shield?
In my shirt pocket.
Uh-huh. Have you switched it on?
No. Well, I thought as long as I wasn't in the red area...
Now, you listen to me. Every minute you're in this complex of buildings, I don't care how it's coded, yellow, green, blue, red, you keep that shield on. I repeat, the lives of everyone depend on it. Now, I don't care how many precautions are taken. We can't stop every minute to check what's floating around.
All right, JJ, I'm sorry.
I don't want you to be sorry, Jenny. I want you to be safe.
JJ? Professor Blake asked me to Hello, Miss Blake.
Hello, Sergeant Brown.
General Blake sent me out to tell you that Jenny was on her way in.
Uh-huh, a little late.
So I see. We had a slight emergency. Everything's on target again.
Can I go in and see my father now?
Your father asked if you'd wait for him in his standby quarters.
Where's that?
That's the door at the end of the hall.
Is it open?
Professor Blake told me to open it.
I think I'd prefer to let myself in.
No, you can't. I'll come with you. It's a combination lock.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd still like to know what plugging the hole in the donut means.
I'm afraid that's something you'll have to ask your father, youngster.
Youngster? Oh.
That little girl has a crush on you.
Mm. She's got better sense than you have, Trish.
Oh, let's not go into that again. I get enough from Jenny. She hates me because she thinks I cut her out with you.
I wish it was true. If you think Jenny has a hate on you now, can you imagine what it would be like if she knew about you and her father?
Hi, Duchess. Sorry I was so long.
Hello, Daddy.
No salute for the general? Or am I still in the doghouse?
Oh, Daddy. There's your salute.
Thank you. No smile to go with it?
Oh, let's not get icky. What does it mean, plugging a hole in the donut?
Where'd you pick up that phrase?
All around. What does it mean?
I want to know who said it to you.
I'm not going to tell, so don't try to push me. Why not try leveling with me instead of shutting me out?
I'm not shutting you out. It's top secret.
From me?
From anyone, except the very few who do know what it means.
And I can't be one of them. What are you afraid of?
Let's put it this way. It's something I don't want you to know because just having the knowledge could be dangerous to you.
Did Mom know?
Yes. She knew. Or at least what I was trying to do. Too late for her.
But if Mom knew, why can't I? Am I too young for state secrets?
It isn't that, Jenny.
Well, then what? You let me into the House of Mysteries and I... only get so far, and whammo, I'm shut out again. Just the way you've shut me out ever since Mom died.
Jenny, listen to
me. Well, maybe I'd listen if you'd level with me for once.
I tried. Believe me, I tried.
Sure, by shipping me off to all those tacky boarding schools. And then when I keep busting out, the best you can do is drag me up here halfway to the North Pole.
I wanted you to be with me.
Well, that's all I wanted. But I never, ever am.
That's why I tried to... bring you right into the complex here.
being with a person isn't just being where he is. It's sharing. Being what's left of our family.
I can't share what I'm doing here, Jenny. It really isn't mine to share. But I can have you living in the same quarters with me again, and when I have time off, we can be together.
Oh, well, what do I do the rest of the time?
Well, there's school and...
Oh, stop treating me like a child.
What are you?
Will you wake up, Daddy, and stop living 5 years ago when Mom died? I'm almost 16.
So grown up. Are you all that anxious to join the rest of us who wish with all our hearts the world had just stopped spinning then and never gotten to where it is now?
What do you mean?
I mean...
This is Red Alert 3. Red Alert 3. Attention, General Blake. Sole attention, General Blake. Will he report to the control center immediately? Confirmation C158138. This is Patricia Brown. Please signify.
Sorry, Jenny. I have to cut this short.
Patricia Brown. Big deal.
Don't be that way, Duchess. What is it, Trish?
Scramble 5, sir. Enemy in contact.
I'll be right in. Gotta go, Jenny.
Daddy, you never have any time for me.
The whole horror is if we can't stop it, none of us will have time for anything. We can't just let the other world take over.
They would call it.
How?
It may not be completely sealed.
Are we ready to take advantage of it?
8 interplanetary centrifuge airships are hovering, waiting for the word.
They are manned.
These must be.
How many of us will we lose?
A handful when they crash. But what they carry can wipe out the alien Earthlings and make the planet a fit home for us.
Excellent. Then order them to attack.
Not yet. We have a limited amount of germs. None can be wasted if we are to clear the Earth planet. We must be sure the field of radiation is weak and narrow enough for us to break through.
When will we know that?
When our first ship fails to get through. It might have been so easy.
What does that mean?
We waited too long. They laughed at us and called us UFOs.
UFO?
In their terms, unidentified flying objects. We fill their skies, but they do not believe we are real. The few of our spinning circles that crashed disintegrated and became part of their landscape as we planned. So gradually, without problem, we could release the quiet death.
We have no time for that anymore.
I know. That is why the attack is poised and ready.
Then, attack!
Gently, Master. Gently. We must first be sure of success. Let us find out for certain what defenses the enemy has left against us. In this struggle, one civilization must die. Let us be sure it is their work, not ours.
So many planets ride the skies. How many of them are inhabited? And of those that are, or might be, how many of them are hostile to us? Those spinning circles, flat tops like a saucer that have been sighted everywhere, the so-called UFOs that dart elusively through our skies, are they visitors from another world? I'll return shortly with that, too.
There's Lucky! He's got Lucky Charms! They're magically delicious!
Always have to be Lucky Charms, the frosted oat cereal with sweet surprises. Pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, green clovers. Part of your good breakfast. Oh, here they come. I'll make a castle to hide in. Open drawbridge!
Oops. Frosted Lucky Charms!
Magically delicious.
Hello?
We're back.
Oh, no.
Hey, a couple of people want to say they picked Tom Bosley because of Happy Days. thinking that the kids would know about this. This is one of the few original stories. Now, what they did is about 50 of those were just adaptations of classic stories, and it did give them the opportunity to really work on the episode with that, and was backed by NASA, NBA, and so it was really kind of not only the sugar company, but also two of the classic stories. Oh my!
Hang on, I lost my phone.
Oh, a night to remember here on your.
Okay, there we go. All right.
Night to remember on Erie House. Strange night here. We always have the proper answer to that was
okay.
We continue on, and if you'd like, let me tell you here. I have to say, magic words. Dale usually, does magic words. So I guess you'll have to figure out what magic words are.
I keep hitting spots. It's like I can hear and then I can't and then I can hear.
Okay, how about some magic words so we can start part two of our General Mills Adventure?
Abracadabra. Abraca baseball.
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
I'm back inside.
Returning to today's adventure story, let's keep our feet as near to the ground as we can on our own universe and with the guardians of it, a group like JJ and Trish and General Josh Blake, who are profoundly troubled, and a teenager like Jenny, who figures them all too uptight. Is she right or wrong? Well, you're going to have to ride with her and get your eyes open to what's happening at this moment.
You think it's a serious attack, JJ?
Maybe just a probe, Trish.
Why do they want to destroy us?
From all the readings we get, because they're desperate. Their planet can't sustain them anymore.
I just checked the scanners. Hi, Trish, JJ. What do you read out?
It's hard to lay down, sir. My guess is they're not up to task force size. They're just testing the barrier.
Oh, I wouldn't count on it. They just might figure a breakthrough.
All right. We're on red alert 3. Step it up to red 2 and have all units stand by on war footing.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Trish, I'll want hour-by-hour reports, minute-by-minute if it comes down to that. We'd better contain them on this or we're down the drain.
Do you think this might be a full-scale attack, Josh?
Whatever a full-scale attack is, how would you describe it?
A world epidemic of disease. An attack of germs to destroy all of us and make the world ready for invasion by the other world?
You're right about everything except the invasion. By the time that happens, if their plan works, there would be nothing to invade.
Are we going to stand by and see that happen?
You can ask me that. They killed Jenny's mother in the second wave because we were still standing by. They wouldn't listen to us. The microbiologists who isolated the virus and the physicists and the engineers, like myself, they claimed that the first epidemic was an accident of nature, not an invasion from outer space. The second wave shook the world and me. When I lost my wife, I promised her I'd try to save the world, at least for Jenny, if no one else.
Please, Josh, don't go back over it. Stepping up the Magna projector.
She's in phase 3 now.
Will that shut them out?
It has, up till now. We'll have to see.
They must have found the way through the outer Van Allen radiation belt, which brings them too close for comfort. Let's hope the inner one and our patches hold.
Why did we have to patch it, Josh?
Because the Van Allen belts are like donuts.
I never quite understand. I try to do my homework. I know, for example, that there are two belts of radioactive material that Van Allen discovered. And I always thought they were like envelopes or layers of protective skin around the globe.
Well, they are, in a sense. But they're not skin. They're just pieces of atoms held together by magnetic fields. And over both the North and the South Pole, some negative magnetic force opens a hole in them.
That is what you developed the magnet projector for, to fill those holes.
The best scientific brains working together developed the magnet projector. I was their leader.
The vision was yours. The final technique of maintaining the...
The adhesive tape, the patches. So far, we've made it stick on the South Pole. That's relatively stable. But the North, something else again.
Why?
The hole we're trying to keep plugged is constantly changing shape. That's why the radiation we throw out from the magnet projector has to be constantly monitored, sprayed, just almost like a hose. Because it just once, we nod and leave any parts uncovered, they can bombard us with the killer germs and wipe out all life on Earth. We've made contact with them. Come on, let's get into the control center.
Let me see. Why are our craft breaking off and retreating?
The ray. The death ray. Our ships cannot stand against it. The armor is too thin.
We can pass through the outer ring.
Not where it is radioactive. Only at each end of the axis, where the way is open.
But the inner ring is the same.
Not anymore. The death ray guards our way in.
Then we must build stronger armor for our ships.
No time.
Then must we shrivel and die?
No. The way must be opened. We must use the optical phaser.
How?
To probe through all their defenses and into the brain of the commander.
Who is their commander?
They call him General Joshua Blake.
And what will you do with his brain?
Possess it first. Train and computerize it from the central machine so it will print out whatever we feed in. Once we have used it to unlock the doorway for us, we will destruct it and the rest of his people.
General Blake, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant Homer.
Wish to report enemy turned back. They lost four spacecraft, just disintegrated when the magnet projector beam struck them. It was a rout.
This time, J.J., this time, we better stay lucky.
You mean it goes on and on like this forever?
No. That's the one good thing. If we can hold them off long enough, they're the ones who'll be wiped out.
We'll attack?
We won't have to. You see, they may be a superior race in every other way, but they have an Achilles heel, too.
What's that, sir?
For all their vaunted brain power, they've never learned to adapt to their environment. Without water, they'll die of thirst.
Yes, sir, but how long will that take?
Sometime before they find a way to penetrate our defense armor, I hope. Well, I think I'll go back to my quarters and have dinner with my daughter. Then I'll be back.
Why don't you get some rest, Joe? Sir, you need it. J.J. and I will watch things and alert you if you're needed.
I might just take you up on that. What's today's code on the doors?
8574, sir.
Thanks. Eight, seven, five, four. Must have mixed the digits. I'll try again. 8574.
Oh, it's you, Daddy.
Did you open the door from the inside?
No. I heard someone at it, but it started open before I got here.
8574.
What?
Well, there's a different combination to open all doors inside the red area. We change it every day.
And that's today?
Well, you just forget it, young lady. It's top secret.
but I'll have to know to get around.
Now you call J.J. or Trish Brown whenever you want to go anywhere. They'll handle it.
Supposing I want to go through the door at the other end of the hall.
You don't, Jenny. That's off limits.
It would be nice to know what's in there.
Just a lot of machinery. You wouldn't understand. Oh, boy, I'm so tired.
Sit down.
All right, I might close my eyes a moment or so. But don't let me drop off.
Just take it easy. Relax.
I hate to conk out on your first day here at Nemo.
What's Nemo mean?
North Emergency Magna Projector Outpost.
What's a magna projector?
Well, nothing for you to bother your pretty head about. I should be paying attention to you.
Don't you worry, Daddy. I can take care of myself. Daddy? Daddy? I sleep. 8574, huh? Okay. Nobody wants to tell me anything. I'll just go find out for myself.
Did the beam cut through?
Yes.
Did you find the man?
Look for yourself on the screen.
He's asleep. Now you can get to him.
No.
What is it?
He has some kind of radiation shield about him. I cannot get through. Hold. The little one. There.
She is opening a door. Going through. The machine which makes the death ray is there. But what use could she be to us?
She is of his family. He would fight to the death to protect her. If we controlled her mind, we could control him.
Will she have a radiation shield, too?
We can find that out in a moment.
All I have to do is open this door, and I'll find out what they're trying to keep from me. 8574.
Oh, my head! Oh.
Red alert number one. Red alert one. Plan Alpha, daytime. 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 General Blake, will you confirm? Will you confirm?
What the sand hill is going on, J.J.?
I don't know. General, you'd better get over here sooner to control center. Someone penetrated Omega Security. Excuse me. Now hear this. All emergency plans are go. This is daytime. Daytime. Daytime.
Over 2,000 years ago, a girl in Greek mythology opened the lid of a chest and let loose every plague which since has tormented the world. In our day and age, has Jenny opened a door to the same disaster? Since from outer space, ruthless enemies have broken through to take possession of her mind? I'll return shortly with the exciting Act 3.
There's the cereal I treasure. Delicious fruit-flavored Trix. With this disguise, I'll capture some.
Yo, ho, ho, it's Trix I see.
A pirate.
Have some fruit-flavored Trix for me?
We have Trix as part of a delicious breakfast.
Jolly good, maybe.
Trix fruit taste is jolly good.
Trix has fruit taste I like. There's lemon, there's orange in every bite.
Yay! A rabbit. Silly rabbit Trix for kids.
Yo, ho, ho, it's always no.
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Right after this, that was part two.
Yes, and I hear you, Dale.
Yeah, for now.
Gar, are you there?
I'm here. Oh, hey.
So maybe for one full segment, we might all three be together here.
There you go. I hope. Never can tell.
And right after the show, we're going to give the Blog Talk Radio salute.
Yes.
Okay.
It's called a raspberry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys follow it, all those little art pieces I make, and I usually post them on Monday with things from monster movies saying different stuff about Eerie House, you know?
Well,
I can just ramp up this meme war with Fuck Talk.
It could give you a whole new line of them.
Yeah.
My deal was with the previous internet service provider I had. I wasn't going to come out and say anything against them as long as they were still my company, because all they had to do was go, okay, bye, click, see you. I was walking a tightrope for many years about how dissatisfied I was with the company I was using.
Yes, yeah.
Well documented.
Well documented. Yes, you did.
I would throw a few barbs out there, but for the most part, it was kind of calm. So, nope, it's in the other room. I
take the Bugs Bunny approach. Of course, you know, this means war.
This means war. So General Mills has a little list of stuff that they used to schlep, and they still do. They got the three monster cereals, Frankenberry, Count Chocula, Booberry. They got Cheerios and his variants, Chex and his variants, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cocoa Puffs, Cookie Crisp. What other good one? Golden Grahams. Golden Grahams to me was like old people cereal. I was like, no. They came up with a bad name. Lucky Charms.
Golden Age.
Golden Grahams. I was like,
Golden Age.
Nesquik
Grahams,
cereal.
Really?
Raisin. They never. No, they didn't. They had Raisin Nut Bran. They couldn't call it Raisin Bran. I guess they had to call it Raisin Nut Bran for whatever reason. Probably because Kellogg's had the other one. Reese's Puffs. Trix. And, of course, the athletic one, Wheaties.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the start of their company can actually date back to Minneapolis, 1856. Crazy. That old. Still going.
Yeah. Yep. Did you say that Chex was in there?
Chex like and its variants.
Okay.
Yeah,
CHEX. I think originally that was Purina, Ralston Purina. And I don't know whether they traded it for some dog food or something, but yeah. I think it was originally.
Monkey Chow.
Monkey Chow.
You know there is a Monkey Chow? There actually is a Monkey Chow.
I wonder who's buying monkeys. They also had a few others that are discontinued. Banana Wackies. Now, as a kid, I'd be interested in Banana Wackies. That sounds kind of fun. Baron Von Redberry. Baron Von Redberry. Sir Drinkfellow. They had Buckwheats. I'm surprised that that got discontinued. Chocolate-flavored donuts cereal. Who wouldn't have gotten that?
There you go.
Crazy Cow. Crazy Cow, which resembles Cocoa Puffs. E.T. cereal. Okay, so they're jumping on that. Fingos. The cereal made to eat with your fingers. You can't
no
get a spoon.
Needed.
What's wrong with you, kid?
No milk needed. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's one that this is a little blue. Wheaties Dunka Balls. Wheaties?
Alrighty.
Dunka Balls. Okay. Twinkies. They had a Twinkie cereal. Wow. How'd they get away with that? Sugar Jets. Ooh. They had Star Wars. Star Wars Episode II cereal. Attack of the Blueberries.
Cereal.
Episode
2 cereal. It's a little stale now, but.
Yeah. It would be. Sprinkle Spangles. Pac-Man cereal. No, thanks. I wasn't a Pac-Man guy. Mr. Wonderful Surprise. I'm staying away from that one. Kaboom!
Oh, boy.
Now, there's a good one. Kaboom.
I remember Kaboom.
Kaboom, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
That's
pretty good cereal. Yeah.
Mom was creepy, but it was good cereal, yeah.
And they have a whole bunch of stuff under their umbrella. They've got Betty Crocker under their umbrella.
Why, is it raining?
Yeah. Company umbrella. Betty Crocker, Gold Medal Flour, Pillsbury, Bisquick. Yeah, they got it's a big company, man.
They're taking all your food.
Yeah, well, they're making all our food. We don't know what they're making out of. Maybe aliens. We got a whole lot of radio.
And we do. And while I still have something of microphone services remaining, let's wrap up. The Other World from General Mills Adventure Theater. Hey!
Now let's see just where we are. The enemies of Earth have turned to a giant computer whose deadly photoelectric phaser beam will control a human brain if they can plant it there. A radiation screen protects all those in the Nemo complex. But headstrong Jenny has carelessly failed to turn her radiation shield on, and so the enemy from outer space has captured her mind. But not before Jenny has inadvertently set off Earth's full alarm system.
All right, guard. Double cover on all entrances. Special detail, follow me to control and... Jenny! What are you doing here?
I was just looking to see if... Who are you?
I am the voice of your mind.
I don't understand.
You will listen to me and do as I say.
Jenny, how did you get as far as the command post?
Daddy was asleep. So I wanted to explore. Can't we stop all the noise?
No, it isn't just noise. It's... here comes the general.
What is it, JJ? What's going on?
It looks like a false alarm, sir.
You sure?
Security flights are all in the air. All scanners have been checked. Satellites have picked up no threat of attack.
So what set off the alert?
Unauthorized personnel in critical area, General. Jenny, I'm afraid she tripped the switches. I warned her about keeping her radar screen turned on, but she got into the Magna projector area without full electronic clearance.
Any damage to the systems?
Well, I don't think so, General.
Then scrub the alert. Immediate.
Yes, sir. This is command control to all units. We have had a false alert. I repeat, a false alert.
Come on, Jenny. We're going back home. Jenny... I can't tell you how furious I am at you. Now, I want you to sit right there while I make some staff calls. Whatever possessed you... Well, we'll talk later.
Whatever possessed you... But you know what did, don't you?
I don't know who you are. What is it you want?
When the time is ripe, we will tell you.
All right, now, Jenny, let's you and me have a little talk.
There's nothing to talk about. I was just curious and lonely.
Wait a minute. Let me put the artillery away so I can sit with you more comfortably. Guns. The price I pay because they had to make me a general. I hate them. I'm a scientist.
Then why don't you just turn your back on it?
Because if I did, it'd be turning my back on your mother. And you. And the rest of the human race.
You know something, Daddy? I think ever since Mom died, you've been kind of off the tracks. Why don't you quit all this? Turn off your old secret machine or whatever it is and And you and me could go bicycling or jogging or play tennis, just like we used to when Mom was alive.
Jenny, I can't.
I'm asking you to put me first, just for once.
Be a traitor to my country, to my world? Would you ask me to do that?
Well, why not? If you really love me.
Jenny.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, I didn't mean any of it. I know you love me. That wasn't me speaking. That was...
Jenny. What is it? Jenny? Jenny!
What happened, Alex?
Slight mishap, Coleo. I had to put the little earthling to sleep for a while.
Why?
She is not so deeply programmed as I had thought. She will have to be monitored constantly.
We must move. They're dying. We must risk everything in one last attack. Program her to do what has to be done.
Jenny.
Very well. Now you must listen.
Yes.
You will come out of your trance. You will tell them that you did not sleep last night, that you were just tired and fainted from exhaustion. You will say you must sleep.
Yes, sleep, sleep.
When I need you, I will enter your mind again, and you will do what has to be done. Now, wake up, Jenny. Wake up.
Is she coming out of it, Doctor?
Yes, Jenny. Jenny, can you hear me?
I hear you. Oh, who are you?
I'm a doctor, Jenny.
Oh, what happened?
It's all right, Jenny. You just fainted.
Oh, sorry, Daddy.
Oh, I don't care about that. How do you feel?
So tired. I didn't sleep at all last night. I'm just pooped, I guess.
Doctor, do you think that's all it is?
Well, I don't see any evidence of physical symptoms to worry about, but I think she ought to have a sedative. I'll dig something out of the bag and bring it in.
Thank you. Okay, Jenny, want me to carry you, or do you want to walk?
Oh, no, I'd rather walk. As long as I have your arm to lean on.
Dr. Samish.
Yes, Sergeant?
You're holding something back. You don't think it was just fatigue.
What I think, Sergeant Brown, is that the child is out of my area. That child wasn't suffering from plain fatigue. The pupils of her eyes told me that, and her muscles before she woke up, rigid as boards. That was a catatonic trance.
I agree. Almost as though she'd been hypnotized.
Or possessed by some private demons.
Wake up, Jenny! Wake up!
Who is it?
The one who controls your mind. It drifts. Time to go.
Where? What?
The machine that stands between your father and you.
What are we going to do?
You, Jenny, you are going to stop it. Then it will be destroyed, and you can have your father to yourself again.
He does love me. Trish says he does love me.
Hurry, Jenny, and when you are dressed, take this gun with you.
The stun gun?
It fires electric darts that stun
Command post to control room. Lieutenant Holman here. 24 hours check. Roger. No, all clear, yeah. No, we change combinations on all locks. Synchronized watches coming up 2359 right now. You read me.
Good.
Good. Change in 1 minute. Roger. Oh, Jenny, what do you want here?
Don't change the lock combination.
Are you kidding? I'd have my head handed to me if I didn't.
Stop.
I am a stun gun.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, hurry. Hurry. Now, Jenny. Go to my magna projector.
Jenny, what are you doing here?
I'm going through that door behind you.
What's the matter with you? Jenny, you're not yourself.
You can't stop me.
Of course I can.
Oh, no. I didn't mean...
Little fool. You can't stop. Quick, while you can still open the door.
Jenny, what happened to JJ? And Trish?
Keep away from me, Daddy.
Not the stun gun. It's empty. Use the real gun.
That's my gun. What are you doing with it, Jenny?
If you come any closer, I'll shoot.
You wouldn't kill me.
Don't make me.
What are you going to do?
Shut off that thing in there, the magno projector machine.
I can't let you do that.
Don't make me have to shoot you, Daddy, please.
I'll just have to take my chances on that for all our sakes.
No, no, stay back.
You can't go in there anyway. You're not authorized. You'll set off the alarm again.
Not if I switch on my radiation unit.
No!
Oh, Daddy. Daddy. Oh, what am I doing here? What am I doing with this gun?
Give it to me. All right, that's better. Now, I just hope there is some explanation.
I think maybe, General, I can give you that.
Okay, Trish. From what Jenny has been able to tell me and from what you've guessed, I'm ready to go all the way down the line with both of you. So I'm going to turn off the magna projector.
Dare we risk it?
To free us from fear, to end this threat hanging over the world, we have to.
Our last protection against them.
Let them start through the belt, as they're doing this minute. Then, when they're inside it, we'll have them trapped. And we turn the radiation back on again and destroy them.
Did that really work, Daddy?
I believe so.
After all these years, free.
No, we'd have to keep working at it. Freedom isn't bought. It has to be fought for. Let's flip that switch and buy the future.
Space fleet carrying the deadly virus germs had penetrated deep into the radiation band. When the magna projector was turned on again, all of them were fragmented to dust, ending the whole threat of the other world from outer space forever. I'll be back shortly.
I'll mail myself someplace where there's nothing to make me go cuckoo for my favorite cereal. Delicious, munchy, crunchy, chocolatey Cocoa Puffs. It's part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
Cocoa Puffs mail call. Special delivery postcard from Sunny.
He's not in.
They say, Puff Puff Cocoa Puffs. Chocolate tasting Cocoa Puffs. Munchy, crunchy, chocolatey.
Cocoa Puffs. Yahoo! I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Boy, did I get the message.
Well, as I said in the beginning, it was a let's suppose story. But between you and me, forgetting the old folks who were like the Doobie Bird. Mightn't it just have happened? What's a Doobie Bird? Oh, that's a bird who flies backwards because he doesn't care where he's going. He just wants to see where he's been. Cast included Jada Rowland, Russell Horton, E.B. Juster, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.
Between a mountain lion and me?
What, Sue?
2 inches?
5 kids? Time for a powerful Cheerios breakfast. A balanced breakfast like this one.
You got gold with Cheerios. Energy-os that help you grow. You got gold, gold power with Power-Os. Coming on strong with Cheerios. You're feeling your Cheerios.
A Cheerios breakfast.
How's come we gotta wrap up our feet, LaFoot?
Because tonight I, Jean LaFoot, the used-to-be barefoot pirate, will swipe all the Cap'n Crunch cereal from the storeroom of the good ship Guppy.
But why?
You got to be as quiet as a thief in the night if you're going to be a thief in the night. No, the plume, all this Cap'n Crunch cereal. Sweet and tasty, made crunchy to stay crunchy. I must have the one little taste.
Call it, LaFoot. The jig is up.
Gee, if he hadn't taken a bite of Cap'n Crunch cereal, we'd never even heard him.
But it's like I always say, kids, you can't get away with the crunch because the crunch always gives you away.
Ooh. Cap'n Crunch cereal, a crunchy part of any good breakfast.
Fruit!
Quiet!
Fruit!
I'm me, Fruit Root, with my fruit-flavored cereal, Fruit Root, part of your nutritious breakfast.
Who are you?
But delicious Fruit Root has fruit-flavored marshmallows for the howling good taste of fruit.
Count Chocula's got chocolate marshmallows.
Frankenberry's got strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
Fruit! Fruit Root, with a howling good taste of fruit.
There you go.
Got it on the Fruit Root.
He got
probably lasted
with
the least longest, except for one that I just shudder to think of, a Yummy Mummy cereal.
But yeah,
that was it.
No, deal.
Leaves a bad taste in my mouth somehow, but I digress. We got.
That could be something we learned out of all this.
I bet we did.
One were in the right area of the studio. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Star's Moral of the Story.
You can't get invaded if you invade first. There you go.
It was better than that.
Or a good defense.
Or?
It's a good offense.
Yes, if it's all about dreams.
There you go.
At least the sound bites are working.
Glad something is.
I never liked marshmallow. As cute as I thought the monster cereals all were, I never liked the marshmallow cereals. Didn't go for that.
So you weren't a Lucky Charms fan?
No, not at all. I would rather have the Pink Panther flakes turn my milk all pink than eat marshmallows in my cereal.
You know, one thing I want to mention here, of course, Russell Horton, who was in this episode here, had a couple different roles. He was a doctor, and he was the guy that Jenny liked, the older guy that Jenny liked. He also was, if you heard earlier, He was the Trix Rabbit.
Oh, there you go. I never put two and seven together on that.
He was the second Trix Rabbit, but it was during this era that he became the Trix Rabbit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was all for the Monster cereals until I tasted them. I was like, man, I tasted better cereal. I was like,
I tasted better shellac.
There's got to be a better quality cardboard out there somewhere.
That's right. You would think, but no.
And the marshmallows couldn't offset how non-appetizing that particular thing is. I like the concept. They just need a better, you know, hey, make one that's edible, you know.
Yeah.
Because you got monsters. Hey, there's a whole bunch of folks that like monsters, but it's pretty rough.
Yeah. You should have kept it simple.
Oh, in that last little blurb of General Mills, we heard from Kid Cheerio or Cheerio Kid or whatever. The earliest I remember of an advert for them was to see that little boy, and he flexes his bicep, and there's a Cheerio in there to say that Cheerios builds muscle, I guess.
Well, you know, it's what Popeye did for spinach, the Kid Cheerio was trying to do for Cheerios.
There you go. There you go.
So we do have another episode to get in here to Dale tonight.
We do?
How about some X-1? Boy, I'd like to hear some of that.
I love X-1. This was an interesting tale. I ran across it later in the series, and I thought I'd heard most of them, or I thought I heard all of them, and then I realized I hadn't. I hadn't heard this one.
Being in the military, I can...
A lot of X-1. I'm not familiar with this one at all, so I'm looking forward to this, Jim.
Being that I was in the military on a ship, we never had such a thing as a sea chute. But we're going to find out what a sea chute is, right?
Right, we are.
And so there you go.
Right down the old sea chute. There we go.
And it came to us on February 8th, 1956.
I agree.
Woo-hoo! I guess that means we
in just a moment, X-1. But first, there's a certain water commissioner whose interest in the ladies sometimes overshadows his interest in civic affairs. His name is a familiar one, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, and he'll pursue his adventures tomorrow night when NBC Radio presents another comic episode of The Great Gildersleeve. So when you hear the familiar voice and hearty laugh of the water commissioner from Summerfield tomorrow, why, stay tuned and enjoy another romantic scramble with the one and only The Great Gildersleeve on this NBC station. And I'll stay tuned for X-1 on NBC. Countdown for blast-off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents X-1. Tonight's story, The Sea Chute, by Isaac Asimov. We were on our way home to Earth when it happened. Six of us, coming home as passengers aboard the merchant spaceship Starfire. at the start of the second interstellar war, the one between Earth and the planet Chloro. And then it happened.
Now hear this. Condition red. Condition red. We are under attack from a Cloran battlecruiser. All hands forward to battle stations. Passengers will remain confined to the after cabin. Condition red. We are being attacked.
The interception by the Cloran cruiser, the murderous running jewel of energy blasts and force field defenses. We huddled in the passenger's after cabin, terrified, not knowing how the battle was going. We could hear the desperate bursts of steam through the steering tubes as the Starfire maneuvered to dodge the enemy attacks. And then...
Now what?
The beginning of the end, you might call it.
Well, what does it mean, Stuart? You were a space pilot?
It means our generators have been drained of energy. We can't fight back.
But, Monsieur,
all right, don't worry. They won't destroy us. They need our ship too badly. They'll simply board us and take over.
But what about the crew?
The crew, Colonel? If they have any sense, they'll surrender. If they choose to fight, they'll... Now, they're coming aboard. Now, be very still.
Oh, Mother in heaven, help us.
Would you be still?
If only those fools on deck will surrender without a struggle.
They are fighting.
Yes, the end.
We've got to help them.
All right, don't open that door.
We just can't let them die.
You can't help them.
I'm going.
Stop him. All right.
Anesthesia.
Shut the door quickly.
Anesthesia. My brother.
That poor fool.
I'll get them. My brother, I swear to God. Get them.
Yeah, you better cover his body.
The brutes. The monstrous green-skinned brutes.
They're no more brutes than we are, Colonel. This is a war.
Are you defending them?
I'm merely pointing out the facts.
I ought to strangle you.
Why not save it for the Chloros?
I will. I promise you I will.
Well, they're probably deciding right now what to do with us. We might as well settle down and wait. We sat there, the five of us, and listened while the Cloran invaders killed off the members of the Starfire's crew. Among us was Colonel Anthony Wyndham, an old Colonel Blimp type with a lame leg. Wyndham had spent his life in the militia back on Earth, but had never seen a battle. There was Demetrius Polyarchitis, who had just watched his brother being killed by a chlorocarbonizer. Polly was a huge man. He and his brother had tried truck farming in Arcturus and given it up after two seasons. Then there was LeBlanc, a sensitive, frightened young man of 22, and Randolph Mullen, who looked like somebody's caricature of a bookkeeper, a mild, balding, milquetoast little man. And there was myself, John Stewart. I was the only one who'd ever had contact with the Chloro people. I had a pair of artoplasm hands to prove it.
It is quiet now.
Yeah, they've finished with the crew.
Mr. Stewart?
Yes, Mr. Mullen.
What do you think will happen next?
Well, they'll put a prize crew of two aboard and take us to one of their home planets as prisoners of war.
Only two of the Chloros will stay aboard?
Well, two is all they'll need. Why, Colonel? You're thinking of leading a gallant raid to retake the ship?
Well, simply a point of information, dash it.
All right, then let me give you another point of information. If you want to commit suicide quick, just open that bulkhead door. Three steps inside, you'd fall on your face.
But why?
Don't you smell anything, LeBlanc? Get close to the door.
It smells like gas.
Yeah, it is gas. Chlorine gas. They breathe it like we breathe oxygen. They've chlorinated the whole crew's compartment. One big whiff of that and we'd all be dead. So just forget about rushing the Chloros.
How do you know so much about their habits, Stuart?
I lived on a Chloro planet for 6 months. You see these hands? They were mangled in the oxygenating machinery of my own quarters. They grew these artoplasm things and operated. They're weak, but at least I have hands again.
Monsieur Stewart.
Yeah.
Will they kill us?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because in their own way, they're gentlemen. Probably will be interned for the duration.
You call them gentlemen. After they kill my brother in cold blood, you call them gentlemen.
You know, Stuart, you sound more and more like a blasted greenie sympathizer. Blasted, man. Where's your patriotism and loyalty?
My loyalty is where it belongs, with honesty and decency, regardless of the shape of the being it appears in.
This is a ridiculous war. Why are we fighting these people? We can live only on planets with oxygen, and oxygen is poison to them. They can live only in chlorine atmosphere, which is deadly to us. Yet we're fighting them over a bunch of worthless asteroids that neither of us can live on comfortably.
Well, it's a matter of principle.
It's a matter of stupid pride and greed.
I don't like what you say, mister.
Why not?
Because you talk too nice about these greeny scum. They're good to you, eh? Well, they weren't good to my brother. They killed him. And I think maybe I'll kill you, you rotten greeny scum.
Holy... Mullen, grab him.
I can't break his hold. They are coming in.
Foley, let him go.
They saved your life this time. But when I'm finished with them...
What? I think they're opening the lock.
So don't get between us.
Foley, don't lose your head. They'll kill us all.
Chloro was not a pleasant sight to anyone unused to him. He was about the height of an Earthman, but the top of him was just a green stalk with eyes. He was still wearing a spacesuit to protect him from the oxygen in our compartment. In one of his tendrils, he carried a Chloran gun. As he stood in the doorway, I could see Polyarchetes' eyes begin to glisten with rage. Then, with a bellow like a huge bull, he threw himself at the Chloro.
Our own planet within several weeks, your time. There you will be interned for the duration of the war. If any of you attempts to leave this compartment, we shall be forced to destroy you. That is all I have to communicate.
Hadn't we better do something for Mr. Polyarchetes?
Oh, he'll be all right. Just hoist him up on the cot. That's a good idea. All right, Polly. Can you hear me, you stupid brute?
His voice is coming back.
Yeah. Now, I know what's going on in that thick skull of yours, Polly. You think that when the paralysis wears off, you'll ease your feelings by slamming me around some more. Well, if you do, it'll be curtains for all of us.
How do you mean, sir?
None of you know the Chloros the way I do. Unlike us, they assume automatically that any group of Earthmen they find together comprises a biological grouping, like an ant colony. The result is that they consider the group as something, well, something holy. Now, they'd never break us up. And if one of us did any harm to another, they'd have us all executed as a bunch of chlorotype perverts, a non-functioning group. So call all the names you want. But keep your hands to yourself, or we're finished. My little speech had a sobering effect on the group. For the next 24 hours, we did little besides eat our rations and think. I tried to evaluate them. The colonel I had figured for an old windbag. Polyarchetes was a hate-filled brute. LeBlanc would crack first. He was like a frightened child. Mullen was a nonentity, a mouse instead of a man. Everything he did seemed prissy-ish. His voice had the quality of furtively rustling underbrush.
How long did you say the trip would take, Mr. Stewart?
Well, the Chloro said about 2 weeks.
Gentlemen, if I may interrupt.
Colonel?
Now, it has occurred to me that perhaps you know of some weakness that might enable us to overcome these Chloros.
The only weakness they've got is that they can't stand oxygen.
Oh, but there must be some way to get the best of them, man. After all, there are only two...
Before I answer, Colonel, I have to know your motive. Is it to save your own skin or help Earth win the war?
Oh, dash it, man, to help our side, of course. What we're looking for is the way to save the ship for Earth without losing our lives, yes?
Well, all right, let's take a vote, then. LeBlanc?
I have a wife waiting on Earth, Mr. Stewart. I do not want to die.
Uh-huh. Hero number one. What about you, Mullen?
I don't see how we could accomplish it without...
Hero number two. Well, Polyarchetes?
When I kill Chloros, it will be with my bare hands. On their planet, I will kill dozens, I promise you.
Three down.
Well, Colonel, don't you want to march to glory, an old militiaman like you?
Your attitude is very cynical and unbecoming, Stuart.
I see. Well, then I'll have to blow the ship up myself.
Stuart!
Don't worry, Colonel. I don't intend to be a dead hero.
Of course, there is a way we might do it.
What did you say, Mr. Mullen?
There's a spacesuit and magnetic boots stored in that locker over there. We might be able to reach the control room from the outside of the ship.
The outside? But how would we get outside?
Well, this compartment has a sea chute. It must.
What is a sea chute?
A sea chute, my boy, is a casualty chute. It doesn't get talked about much, but all the main compartments have them. They're just little airlocks down which you slide a corpse. Burial in space.
Oh, blast it, Mullen. Suppose you did get outside. How could you re-enter the ship?
Through the steam tubes, the ones they use to guide the ship.
Wait a minute, Mullen. What do you know about steam tubes? I thought you were a bookkeeper.
Well, on Arcturus, I got interested in spaceship models. I studied all about them. On my own time, of course.
Yeah, naturally.
At any rate, I learned that the steam tubes have an access vent directly to the control room for repairs and so forth.
And the claws, they are in the control room.
What do you think, Stuart?
Well, it's a video sort of idea, but it might just work. We could get permission from the claws to open the sea chute and bury Paulie's brother. And one of us could slip into it, work forward, and climb up through the steam tube. The question being, which one?
What about you? You with your loud talk and your sneers.
I'm no hero, Paulie. I've already said that. My object is to stay alive. The steam tube let go while you were in it, you'd be broiled like a lobster. Now, how about the colonel here?
If I were younger, blasted, I'd trounce you. You know very well with my injured leg.
Yeah, of course. Not to mention my artificial hands. Well, now, what unfortunate deformities do the rest of us have? Paulie?
You just keep talking, Mr. Big Mouth, and pretty soon we'll kick your teeth in.
Of course, that's your standard reply to everything, isn't it? LeBlanc, will you do it?
I cannot.
Not even to get back to Denise?
Please, I cannot.
LeBlanc needn't go. I'll do it.
What?
After all, it is my idea.
Wait a minute. Are you serious, Mullen?
Yes.
Well, how? I don't understand. Why? Why you?
Well, it seems no one else will do it.
But that's no reason, man.
I can't think of any other.
Look here. Do you really intend to go through with it, sir?
Yes, I suppose I do.
Well, dash it, man. Let me shake your hand. You're an earthman, by heaven. You do this thing and win or die. I'll bear witness for you.
Sugar Pops and Honeycombs. That's what I'm talking about. That was some good breakfast. When I wasn't having the delightful chocolate of Cocoa Puffs.
Do they still call it Sugar Pops anymore? Like, because they don't call it Sugar Crisp anymore.
Or no, Corn Pops. They're called Corn Pops. That's what they are. Corn Pops.
Okay, Corn Pops. And they turn sugar.
You know, the guy the president sugar knows. Sugar, Corn Pops.
Sugar. Yeah, they turn Sugar Bear into a super. What was it? Not Sugar Bear. What do they call a sugar Frosted Flakes? Super Frosted Flakes or something. No, it wasn't even flakes. They weren't flakes.
Crisps.
Yeah.
Sugar Bear was for Sugar Crisp. That was the puff rice that was covered in like caramely stuff, I think.
Yeah. Now they're called Post Golden Crisp cereal, getting rid of the
golden
word
crisp.
Sugar.
Yeah, because
sugar smacks. The frog, dig them.
Oh, yeah, sugar smacks, yeah.
Yeah. I want my maple.
Yeah. I tell you, they really wrangled us kids in on sugared cereal when we were young.
Oh, plus they put the cool toys in them sometimes. Sometimes you got some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly it was junk. But sometimes it was pretty cool.
I like on Honeycomb, sometimes you put those records on the back of them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the cutout records. Yeah, on the box.
Yeah.
The
Evatone sound sheets,
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How about you guys in the chat? What was the coolest thing you ever got in cereal?
Oh, wow, the coolest thing.
That didn't have legs.
I
I remember this. It was in a plastic wrapper, but they had this little, it was like an octopus looking thing, and it was really pliable rubber, and it was really sticky. You'd throw it against your refrigerator, and it would slowly crawl down the refrigerator, or the door, or the window, or whatever.
Here's a question for you two guys. Did you ever open the bottom of the box to get to the prize earlier?
No.
Okay. Dale never cheated.
I don't know if I ever did this where you get a very large bowl, like a mixing bowl, and just pour it all out and then grab it and then pour everything back into that bag.
Oh, you guys. I ate my way.
Yeah, you plow your way into it and you get it, and then the box is now pregnant. It won't go back into shape.
Plus, I found, well, there was a technique that worked for some of them. When you open the box, right, you would tilt it over on an angle, press the long sides in a little bit to puff out the box. And I had skinny little hands back then. I was a little kid. You could reach way down to the bottom.
Yeah, and grab that little cellophane wrapper.
Then, of course, you didn't tell anybody else in the house. You just groped all the cereal, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
You hid it under your mattress for 8 weeks until everyone forgot.
Remember sports cards were either on the box themselves or they were inside the box.
Wheaties especially had sports cards. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Siren, I have, good old Bob mentioned siren whistle rings. I have three of those here. I got some, but they don't work. And I was like, darn, it would work for like a second.
Somewhere a Frito, it's not cereal, but I still have a Frito Bandito eraser.
Oh,
yeah.
Now,
they kicked them out.
They kicked him out. They kicked out Pepe Le Pew.
You know, they replaced him with a W.C. Fields type character, and they made that an eraser, too.
That's right. I think I had one of those, too, the W.C. Fields one. Yeah.
I have somewhere on here, because if you know my email is secretsquirrel_4@yahoo. I have Secret Squirrel toys around here, and one of those is, like you're talking about, it's like a Secret Squirrel eraser that you would put on a pencil.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And you never wanted to use it because it was, like, too cool.
Oh, no. That kind of got me, like, here is your favorite character in wax as a candle. Well, you'd never want to burn it, you know.
Yeah.
Would you? No. You know.
Not me?
No.
Bad thing about the pencil erasers, though, I always felt like I was violating the toy. But, you know,
I do not have anything near me.
That made me sad. It made me very sad.
What is that?
I have no idea.
I figured it was you.
No,
that's you. That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
That's a sick goat there.
Yeah, he needs some new batteries. I don't know.
He needs to go down the sea chute is what he needs to do.
He does. Hold on, radio.
Or up the sea chute.
Sounds like he's sliding down the sea chute. Well, actually, we have a bit of radio, and then we'll maybe even have time for a little goofing around with bonus material.
I've got a really cool thing there, Dale, if we can get to it. That's a little long, but hopefully we'll have time for it. It's really cool.
All right, then let's wrap up Sea Shoot from X minus Y.
It was quite a moment. Mullen the Mouse had suddenly turned into a man. He just stood there awkwardly while the colonel pupped his hand. Polyarchita seemed stunned. LeBlanc was wide-eyed. And I? Well, I was in a peculiar position, one in which I rarely found myself. I had absolutely nothing to say.
That ought to bring them.
I hear one.
What is it, Earthman?
One member of our unit is dead, as you know. We request permission to jettison his body out of the casualty chute.
You may do so.
You'll have to open the chute lock from the control room.
I will do so. Is there anything else?
No. Nothing else. Thank you. Oh, boy. All right, come on now. We'll have to work fast. Mulling, get into a space suit from the emergency locker. Paulie, help Mom with those magnetic boots.
Hurry.
I'm working as fast as I can. The arm.
All right, give me the helmet.
The helmet.
Okay. Now, Mullen, you better scratch your nose if you have to. It's your last chance for a while.
What about radio contact?
You can talk to us. We'll listen in on the helmet set in one of the other suits. The Chloros won't have their set on the interphone frequency.
Wait a moment.
What for?
Dash it, what's he going to use for a weapon? He isn't big enough to fight them barehanded.
Oh, no, that's true. Well, how about one of those oxygen cylinders?
Good idea. Use it to bash them over the head.
Now, give him one of the cylinders equipped with a reducing valve. Now, look, Mullen, if your magnetic boots fail and you start drifting away into space, open this valve. See that? Now, you can use it like a miniature jet and try to blow yourself back to the ship. Understand?
I think so.
Well, I only hope it works. All right, here goes the helmet.
You'd better hurry. The light is on over the sea chute.
Yeah. All right. That means I've opened the lock. Here. Now, can you hear me?
Oh,
LeBlanc, give me that other space helmet.
Yes. Here.
Let me switch on the radio. Can you hear me, Mullen?
I hear you.
Fine. Plenty of air?
Air's okay.
Uh-huh. Paulie, open the sea chute. Okay, now help him in. Are you ready?
Ready.
Well, good luck. Close the chute. Pull the ejector valve. Now. He's out. Oh, God, help him.
The light is out.
Yeah, the Chloros have closed the chute lock.
I don't suppose he has much of a chance.
No.
Do you think he knew it?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Should I try to contact him on the radio?
Yes, I think... Wait a minute.
What is it?
Listen, the Chloros coming.
Good Lord. He's sure to miss Mullen.
Yeah, wait. Paulie, get your brother's body on the cot. Put a blanket over it. Pretend it's Mullen asleep.
Paulie, for heaven's sake.
My brother.
All right, you've got to do it, man. It's our only chance. Listen, if Mullen could go out there and...
Very well. I will do it.
Earthman.
Yes.
You have jettisoned the body?
Yes.
Good. Is there something further we can do?
No, We are very tired. Our grief is very great at losing one of our unit. We would like to rest alone.
I will respect your wishes. I see that one of your units sleeps already.
Yes, yes, Mr. Mullen was overcome with grief.
I leave you.
Oh, brother. Holy, I thought sure you were going to rush him.
With that brave little guy out there, what do you think I am anyway? And to think I laughed at him makes me ashamed.
Yeah, I guess I've been saying some things that maybe weren't too funny. I owe all of you an apology.
Do you think it's safe to try the radio?
Yeah, we better. Hello? Hello, Mullen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Where are you?
I'm standing on the outside of the ship.
All right, now take care. One misstep and you'll be marooned in space. Now, can you find the steam tubes?
I think I've found one of them already. I can feel the rim. I just hope it doesn't let go when I get inside.
Be careful.
I'm going into the tube now. I can feel the ladder rungs I used to repair the inside.
Now, keep in contact.
Now.
Good Lord. They've let go with a blast.
Yeah, well, it may be the starboard tubes. Mullen.
Still here. They use the other tubes, fortunately. Now, if they don't try to correct for over-deflection...
Yeah, keep moving.
I seem to be... Wait. Yes, yeah, I'm at the end of the tube now, where it opens into the control room.
Good, good. Now, look, there's a small metal door there. Can you feel it?
Yes, I'm afraid it's locked from the other side.
Oh.
I can't budge it.
Mullen, Mullen, listen to me.
Stuart, I'm scared. I'm terribly scared.
Yeah, all right, now hang on. Don't blow up. Listen to me. Are you listening?
Yes.
Take the spare oxygen tank. Bang on the metal door that leads to the control room. The chloros are bound to hear you. When one of them comes to investigate, try to hit him with a cylinder. Now aim for the stalk on top of his body. Try to blind him. Will you do that?
I'll try.
Well, now go on. Only one can come. The other will stay at the controls. Now start banging. Any luck?
No, I hear something. Something's opening the lock. The door now. I hear...
Mullen! Mullen, what happened? Mullen, can you hear me? Mullen! 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 Oh, it's no use. They must have gotten him.
Yeah, he was one brave little guy, that one.
But suppose they have just got him in the control room. I mean, maybe he's not dead.
Well,
then maybe one of us could rush them. We could bang on the door and jump the chloro.
Well, the first guy would be a cinch to die.
But I would be willing to take the chance.
You?
Why not? I could try.
Not you. I'm the strongest. I do it.
Now, listen, you chaps. I'm an old man. I've got nothing to live for anyway. Suppose I throw myself at the ray gun.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? 20 minutes ago, there wasn't one of you who'd risk his little finger to get us out of here. Now you're falling all over each other.
Maybe Mr. Mullen teaches us a lesson, huh?
Yeah. Okay, Polly, give me the wrench. I'll start banging on the door. They say that selflessness is contagious. I guess maybe it is. I'd been a cynic all my life, a man who believed in nothing. Well, I'd come face to face with four human beings who proved that I'd been living a lie. I knew what I was going to do now. When the chloro came to investigate our compartment, I had it all planned. If only my poor, weak hands would hold out long enough. Ready?
Ready.
Here goes. That should bring him.
Try again.
Wait, listen.
Shh.
It's at the door.
Yes, ready.
It's opening the lock.
For poor old Mullen now.
Steady.
No!
Let him out!
Wait!
Stop it! It's not the chloro!
Wait!
Good Lord! It's Mullen!
Get the helmet off!
All right, the lift!
Mullen, are you all right?
I seem to be quite all right.
Well, the chloros.
Both dead. At least I hope so.
Well, what happened?
Well, I banged on the steam tube hatch and a chloro opened it.
Yeah?
I hit him with a cylinder. It blinded him, I guess, but didn't kill him. He grabbed me and pulled me into the cabin. In the struggle, he broke my transmitter. That's why I couldn't talk to you. Finally, I managed to club him down.
Well, what about the other one?
The other one almost got me. It must have heard the scuffle and came into the cabin with a ray gun. What I did, I guess, was pure reflex. The cabin atmosphere was chlorine, of course, and the greenie didn't have a spacesuit on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just turned on the oxygen valve in that spare tube. It was like spraying an insect with poison.
Well, you're a brave man, Mullen. I'd have been scared to death. Mullen, what is it? Mullen. An hour later, false hands and all, I was at the controls of the ship, headed for Earth. We'd gotten rid of the chlorinating equipment and restored the oxygen naturally. Mullen was asleep in the cabin under a sedative. Or so I thought, until the cabin door opened. Mullen, for Pete's sake, get back to bed.
No, I'm quite all right now, really. Do you mind if I watch how you operate the ship?
Oh, no, not at all. Sit down. You know, I guess I owe you an apology. I didn't think too much of you.
That's your privilege.
No, it isn't anybody's privilege, Mullen, to despise another. For years now, I've abandoned hope of finding any decency in human beings. I owe you a vote of thanks.
You embarrass me, Mr. Stewart. I didn't do it for any heroic reasons, I assure you. Far from it.
Well, why did you do it, Mullen? That puzzles me very much.
Well, Mr. Stewart, I'm a bookkeeper. 17 years ago, I left Earth to work on Arcturus. I never made much impression on anybody on Earth, although I wanted very much to have people like me. Well, about a year ago, I started to write to my family again. Don't ask me why. And then I asked for a leave of absence to go home after 17 years.
Well, I still don't understand. It wasn't patriotism or love of a woman or money or any of those things. What was it?
Mr. Stewart, haven't you ever been homesick?
I've just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features A Gun for Dinosaur by L. Sprague de Camp, a story of hunters in the bloodiest and most ferocious arena of all prehistoric Earth, where hunting reptile heavyweights is no job for human lightweights. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Sea Chute, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Isaac Asimov and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Lyle Sudrow, Stan Early, Bob Hastings, Mercer McLeod, Danny Occo, and John Gibson. Your announcer, Bill McCord. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Next week, on a distant planet in a forgotten colony of Earth, a man is ordered to commit a murder. Listen to Skulking Permit on X-1 next week.
Baby.
There you go.
Another lovely classic tale from X-1. And we probably should learn something. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
If selflessness is contagious, remember, so is chicken pox.
So we don't really imagine time. We have time for something fun, don't we?
We do, but not that one that, you know, tomorrow night when we have just the mystery theater, we might have more time for it than what we have tonight. We had so much difficulty with our good friends Blog Talk Radio. We could just go ahead and spin that wheel if you want.
Well, that'd be fine. Where is that wheel?
I think Gar had this one in a while. Okay, you can do it.
You're closer. Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
I know.
There's a new streamlined train in operation these days, and one of the stops on its run is the city of Whistle Vista. And here, just getting settled in their compartment for a holiday trip to Aunt Sarah's, are a couple of people known as Fibber McGee and Molly.
Isn't this a beautiful train, McGee?
Oh, it'll do. Put the bags over there, Porter. Both of them.
Yes, sir. There you are, sir. And here's a paper bag for the lady.
Oh, I thought they just gave you those on airplanes.
This is for your hat, madam.
Oh.
Thanks, Porter. Here you are. Buy yourself a few shares of AT&T.
My goodness, at a nickel a share, that'll be 5 shares. Thank you.
Ah, boy, this is the way to travel, you know it? First class. This train is just like the one when I was in vaudeville. I and Fred Nittany used to sit up all night in the smoker wishing we could ride on one like it.
It certainly is comfortable, and everything is... Oh, look out the window, McGee.
Huh?
Look how fast we're going. Heavenly days, those telephone poles look like a board fence.
We haven't started yet, kiddo. That is a board fence.
All right.
Hey, does it seem a little chilly in here? I'll open this window and let some of the cold air blow out.
That thing is stuck.
McGee.
Huh?
This train is air-conditioned. The window isn't supposed to open.
No train window is supposed to open, Molly, but I'll raise this window or I'll raise the roof off of this dad-ratted cinder bucket.
Look, now, if you're chilly, dearie, turn on the heat. The knob's right there.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Oh, for goodness sakes, company. Come in.
Oh, it's the porter. I didn't want any change, porter. Keep the whole quarter.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, folks, but the lady next door asked me to make up a drawing room, and I wonder if she could just sit in here a few minutes till I get her ready.
Well, of course. Tell her to come right in, porter.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. You just sit in here, Miss L'Amour. It won't take long.
Thank you, porter. I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, not at all. Come right in.
I'd go back to the club car, but I haven't got a club, and you can't get a seat without one. So, Oh, excuse me. I'm Dorothy L'Amour.
Well, I'm glad to know you, sis. I'm Trevor McGee, and this is... Dorothy L'Amour! My gosh, they got everything on this train. I just turn on the heat control, and in walks Dorothy L'Amour. This is my wife, Molly, Miss L'Amour.
Well, how do you do? I'm sure it's awfully nice meeting you. Do sit down.
Thank you, Ms. McGee. Where?
What? Oh, McGee moved those salted peanuts and the radio and the comic books and the picnic hamper.
Yeah. Sit over here, Dorothy. Dottie. No use being formal, I always say. Feel like we've known you for years. Anyhow, I've seen all your pictures.
Oh, they weren't mine. I just acted in them, I thought.
Well, you were great. We show people always stick up for other show people, you know. All us show people in show business... We all like to watch other show people, show. Know what I mean?
Oh, are you in show business, Mr. McGee?
A good question, and a frequent one.
Sure, I was in vaudeville for years. You've probably heard of Powers Elephants and Fink's Mules.
Oh, of course. Which ones were you?
I was the act that come on right behind them. McGee and Nittany, snappy songs and witty sayings. We'd open in wands, see, singing Yankee Doodle and waving little American flags.
Oh, now, McGee, Miss L'Amour isn't interested in your vaudeville.
Well, of course, I'm in radio now, and radio is...
Tell us about yourself, Miss L'Amour. My, it must be exciting living in Hollywood. I've seen pictures of your home, and it's beautiful.
Thanks. We get a lot of pleasure out of it. We enjoy our pool a lot in the summer.
So do I, sis. What do you like best, snooker or just straight rotation? With an extra dime on the 8-ball in the side pocket. Hey, I'll shoot you again sometime.
No, dearie. Miss L'Amour means a swimming pool.
Oh, that pool. Oh, well. Oh, they're okay if you don't like to swim.
Well, you see, in the picture business,
picture business. I may come out there and take a fling at it myself one of these days. As a matter of fact, the story of my own life would make a fascinating picture.
Well, if they can do Al Jolson twice, they ought to be able to do yours once.
Of course, I suppose my natural resemblance to Ronald Coleman would be against me, but I think
to
I...
To whom?
Ronnie Coleman.
Oh.
Glad you noticed it.
Well, I thought you said.
Everybody says I look enough like Ronald Coleman to be his, well, his...
His gardener. With dirt on your knees and a rake in your hand, and it's uncanny.
Well, on the other hand, I've had experience, too. I've already been in one picture, you know, Dottie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you ever run across the theater that's showing a newsreel of the 1932 Legion Convention, the guy dropping paper bags of water out of the hotel window, 7th floor, 2nd from the fire escape, that's me.
Oh, wonderful. I'll watch for it when it comes to the neighborhood theater.
You know, I just loved all those Road 2 pictures you made with Bob Hope, Miss L'Amour.
Your room's ready now, Miss L'Amour.
Thank you, porter. Miss McGee, it's been awfully nice visiting with you both.
Oh, we've loved every minute of it.
Sure, we'll be seeing you, Dottie. We'll drop in on you out there when I decide to crash pictures.
Well, just from what I've seen of your talents tonight, Mr. McGee, I can say one thing.
Yeah?
If you ever leave radio and go into motion pictures, it'll be a wonderful thing for millions of people. Good night.
Hey, Molly. Did you hear what she said?
Yes.
If I quit radio and go in the movies, it'll be a wonderful thing for millions of people.
Yes.
Hey, you think she meant millions of movie fans or radio fans? Did she mean it would be a wonderful thing if I got out of radio? Don't she know how the radio audience reacts to me?
How?
Bored?
You stay out of there.
He wasn't talking to you, Ronald. Now lock the door. I'm sleepy.
The Monongahela Metal Foundry, maker of extra shiny steel ingots for home and office use, invites you to ride with the men of Squad Car 119.
My name's Sam Finch. Me and my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., we're the unsung heroes of the police force. We ride a prowl car at night. Sometimes we go around corners, sometimes straight ahead. Either way, we keep on the lookout for trouble. Other evening, I just pulled a squad car over the curb, shut off the engine, when my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., turned to me and said,
"Why'd you pull over to the curb and shut off the engine, Sam?"
"Kind of quiet tonight, so I thought we might catch a little nap before we have to check in with headquarters."
"Gee, I can't sleep when it's this hot and humid, Sam. My shirt sticks to me, and I get too uncomfortable to doze off."
"Yeah, well, why don't you just lean back and rest your eyes then, Ralph Jr.?"
"No, that's no good. Leaning back just makes my shirt stick to the car seat, and that's even worse."
"Yeah, that's too bad. I think I could really doze off if you'd just pipe down, Ralph R. Jr."
"Sorry, Sam. Never been able to relax in sticky clothes when it's hot and humid."
"Yeah.
I don't even wear pajama tops until after Labor Day."
"Yeah, well, when it's hot and humid like that."
"Calling Car 119, Car 119. Investigate a man behaving suspiciously in the drugstore at Pico and Olympic." "That's the drugstore at Pico and Olympic."
"Ah, drugstore at Pico and Olympic, huh?"
"That's us, Sam. Let's roll."
"Gee, look at that temperature gauge, Ralph R. Jr. It's almost up to boiling."
"Must be a broken fan belt. I'd be willing to bet on it. Better turn off the engine and have a look, Sam."
"Yeah. Maybe just registered hot because the water wasn't circulating while we were parked there."
"No, I'd be willing to bet it's a broken fan belt. Careful now when you open the hood, Sam. The steam could come right up and hit you in the face."
"Yeah. Doesn't seem to be boiling over. I'll lean in and check the fan belt."
"Careful when you stick your head in there, Sam. You could bang it on the hood and get a nasty gash."
"Yeah, fan belt's okay. Maybe we're just low on water."
"Be careful if you plan to take off that radiator cap, Sam. Hot water could spill out all over your hands there."
"Yeah, if it did, you could get a nasty burn."
"Calling Car 119, Car 119. Disregard that call to investigate a man behaving suspiciously in the drugstore at Pico and Olympic. The case has been handled by the men of Squad Car 24. The suspect has been apprehended, booked, and brought to trial. In 1 minute, the results of that trial."
And while we wait to hear the outcome of today's exciting case, here's good news for you homemakers. You're well aware, I'm sure, that extra shiny steel ingots have been in short supply this season at your Monongahela Metal Foundry showroom. But now we're happy to say the supply is nearly caught up with the tremendous demand. Oh, you may still encounter a limit of 3 ingots to the customer in some scattered areas, but in most places, your Monongahela agent will be happy to sell you as many as you need to replace those old, worn-out ingots you've been forced to use during the shortage. So stock up today while there's a good selection.
The suspect arrested in that drugstore at Pico and Olympic was convicted on 5 counts of behaving suspiciously. Behaving suspiciously in a drugstore is punishable by a term in the state penitentiary of not less than 20 years or more than life.
And so another desperate criminal is brought to justice thanks to the unsung heroes of the police force, the men who ride the squad cars at night.
Good to know. Good to know this stuff.
Good to know.
Gotta be careful. Acting suspicious in drugstores, man.
I got confused. I thought Dorothy L'Amour was one of those movie stars that also helped the war effort by some type of secret code. But that's another star, and I can't remember who that was.
Yeah, she was, Dorothy L'Amour was one of the pinup gals.
Right.
That's how she helped the war. That's how she helped the war, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, she was also
had an affair with Hoover, the vacuum cleaner. No, not the director
wow.
of the FBI.
Yeah, you mean the inventor of the vacuum cleaner, I hope, and not the vacuum cleaner itself.
Hello.
Oh, I'm over the top today. I'm sorry. That's Headley. Fogsbane, it's Headley.
Headley, yeah.
Headley, oh, yeah.
Headley,
yeah. Blazing Saddles, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember the name of that starlet. There was a starlet. She was beautiful. It wasn't Rita Hayworth, was it? Who the heck was that? There was some lady that did something for secret code breaking or something, or computers, or I can't, that's weird.
There's a few of them.
But we know it's not Dorothy L'Amour.
Probably not.
Probably not. No, I went looking and I was,
I truly have no idea. But there were a number of actors that worked for the war effort, no less than Christopher Lee himself.
Oh my God.
Yep.
The topic of our show is alien invasion, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the UK television series Space 1999.
Yeah.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it.
Christopher Lee was in it, and also the
Martin Landau.
No.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, Martin Landau was in it, but Christopher Lee was in it, and so was the other guy that played a bad guy in the horror movies, I can't think of his name.
Peter Cushing?
Probably Peter Cushing. One was Dracula and one was, I can't think of his name.
Dr. Frankenstein.
They were both in Space 1999. That was weird to see both of them in there.
An homage to Hammer stars.
I didn't realize. Space 1999 had 3 seasons, I think. I didn't know it had that many. We didn't see that many.
To find out. There's a couple from a few seasons on Roku that are available for viewing pleasures.
I've been binge watching it.
That was good, but I like UFO better.
Now, did UFO use real people or were they puppets?
They used a lot of the puppet technology, and for special effects, they used the puppet stuff, but that was with real people.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Aliens. The girl with the purple hair and all that,
The purple hair, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Now
hey, tomorrow night, real quick, tomorrow night, we're still fighting them there aliens with an episode of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So it's
all right.
Eerie House versus the Flying Saucers. You'll find out what I mean shortly. And then,
after that,
about 8 o'clock Eastern. What happens then?
On the Twitches, we have Horrible Horror starring Garland. Boom, boy, boy. That's all we got. That's all I know.
You said that.
I don't know more.
With a pause.
Did I have to pause?
Yeah. You got to. It's Horrible Horror starring when you drag it out for a while. In a very innocuous way, you say, go.
How about this? Horrible Horror starring. There you go.
Oh, I like that. That's good for tonight's space, or this weekend's space alien.
Horrible Horror starring.
Theme.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Well, thanks, listeners. Especially you, Fogsbane, and good old Bob for joining us tonight on Eerie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
It's so funny.
Yeah, but it's just not that funny anymore.
It's not?
Sure it is.
But there you go. So I had to resort to my cell phone finally.
Oh, okay.
Which has a kajillion minutes left, so this was fine.
A kajillion is a lot of minutes.
I can't believe it could be my headsets. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't hear you, but Gar was also hearing the Razor, and that's what I heard last weekend. But Gar also heard it, but then we couldn't hear you at all. And apparently you couldn't hear us either, could you?
I could at first, the first time I signed in, then I could not at all, and it was weird, and I tried different headsets, and that didn't work. I kept trying to sign in and direct connect in. I tried calling myself. My home phone sounded like number two. So,
and I tried two different Bluetooths. I tried my speaker. Dave was cutting in and out. I looked at my phone. It's fully charged. I don't know.
I got the impression some of the listeners struggled, too. I thought I saw Shane or Bob saying he was having trouble, and we sounded like all of us were underwater. Oh.
Well, so that has to be, since it's all three of us, then it has to be Blog Talk issue.
Okay.
No, they said they fixed stuff. Stop. They lie to me.
But now that we're off air, we can hear each other. What's going
on?
Yeah.
I know. It's just, that's one of them things.
Now, Dal, I ran across a website where I can watch, without commercial interruption at all, all the episodes of Space 1999. And it's like DVD quality. Like, whoa. When I saw it in the 70s.
DVD? Like,
it came. Yeah.
Oh,
DVD.
DVD.
Yeah.
I thought you said DVD.
And high quality digital stuff. When I saw it in the 70s, we saw it on this station that was like 50 miles away. So it was very ghosty, and they also didn't know what to do with the show. They didn't know where to put it. So it came on hit or miss on a Sunday afternoon. Very weird.
We got it pretty good on our channel 43, which was Kaiser Broadcasting, I think. No, not Kaiser. What was 43 back then? WUAB.
Yeah, 43. Wasn't that Kaiser? I thought it was Kaiser.
No, 61 was Kaiser.
Oh, okay.
Because Gould was on Kaiser Broadcasting. That's how he got into other markets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So we saw very ghosty, but enjoyed it.
United Artists, they were tied up with Channel 43, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so seeing it just as clear as day is just amazing. And so I thought what I could do is I could show a Christopher Lee Dracula film, and then the pre-feature could be Space 1999 Christopher Lee in it.
There you go.
And then do the same for the Peter Cushing guy. That's just it's a good match. Because that is that's kind of how I work the pre-features, is I try to tie them into the movie in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We've been having a lot of fun with the pre-features tying in.
Yeah. Well, I used to theme stuff up a lot on Erie House. Dave, do you remember when we did the Jerry Lewis weekend?
When
he passed away?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we were doing old-time radio yet, or we had just started and it was on a Saturday night possibly.
We did all day stuff
that we could find on TV and on radio.
I do remember that. We did a nice little tribute to him on radio too.
I don't know how I missed it, but you guys know that there was an animated, I think it was Filmation, an animated, well, the real Jerry Lewis, please sit down
animated cartoon?
Oh, yeah, I remember when it was on.
I don't think I recall that.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was on NBC.
Yeah.
I do recall that.
Very difficult to find. Well, Tom sent me looking for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Not in the UK, not on a lot of my other sources. I couldn't find it. I found one, and it was in Spanish. Which made it even funnier, because, you know, if you don't speak Spanish and you see this weird antics of this. He had his own comic book that starred, Superman, Jimmy Olsen. Everybody was in there, yeah.
I remember the Jerry Lewis comic book. I had one copy as a ute.
As a ute. It was fun being a ute. All those sugar-laden cereals and cartoons and...
We were lucky, I think, when we grew up. I feel really, 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 really bad for kids today. I said this before here, but honestly, they just don't get to be kids anymore. They have to grow up way too damn fast.
Yeah. How do they not have a Cartoon Saturday for these kids?
I mean, I know, right?
Yeah, that
was
criminal.
It was such a different time, absolutely.
And we suffered with this.
Cartoons.
Well, we suffered with this, too. If you didn't see it when it aired, tough luck. We didn't have recording devices, you know?
No, you had to wait months or whatever for something to come around again.
There's some things I've shown.
Channel 43 started playing the King Kong movies on Thanksgiving. Because I had read about King Kong a lot in Famous Monsters of Filmland, but I had never seen it for like the longest time. And I saw it once at a convention on 16mm film, no less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it's just different when you're in a crowded little room and it's a crappy little copy like that. To see it on TV was really a thrill for me.
I remember as a kid, and this is not as good as the original, but it was what it was. Was it D. Lauren? I can't think of who did it. But in the 1970s, there was a King Kong movie in theaters.
Oh, it was horrible.
With Jessica Lange or whatever. Hey, as a little kid,
one of my pet
got
peeves.
Me.
I just figured out why I don't like that version. Partly because they didn't hire Harryhausen, which they most certainly should have. He was alive and really at the peak of his animation powers. But not only that, they make this giant life-size King Kong that they use for all of, I don't know, 5 seconds in the movie. The masks by Rick Baker were good, but the movie itself was too preachy. You know, it was all about how evil the evil oil companies are trying to destroy Kong, and it was...
Oh, I forgot about that part, yeah.
It got too preachy for me.
I was a youngster, and I never really caught the overtones, but now it's like, ooh, yeah, that was in there. it was a movie, it was a King Kong movie against Exxon.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to be preached at. I came here to see King Kong kick some butt. That was the other thing. No dinosaurs? Really? They had this big rubber snakey thing, and that was about it.
Oh, have you seen the newer Godzilla films? There's a King Kong.
I have not, and I want to. I want to kind of bad because they look good. They look really good.
They are good. And there's a new TV series called Monarch, which is like kind of a nod to the Monarch motion pictures where they're Monarch instead is now a company that's seeking out Godzillas and monsters like him. And one of those is King Kong. And it's a very – Kurt Russell is in it.
No way.
Kurt Russell's in it. And Kurt Russell plays – his son plays him in a flashback 50 years earlier. So it's a young – it's Kurt Russell's son – playing Kurt Russell, and then old Kurt Russell shows up in the modern day. It's very, I enjoy it.
That sounds pretty damn cool.
If you can find it, I'll see if I can find some links or something to it, and I'll send it to you. So you can enjoy
it. Boys, cell phone's getting a little warm here, and I hear a restless collie upstairs.
All right. Well, you're going to do what you need to do.
Yep, and we'll have Jimmy Duran come out and do what he needs to do.
There you go. Good night, guys.
Like a plan.
Good night.
If only I can find him. Here we go.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more is this say but good night?
Silly day.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night.
Mortified.
Good night.
Ink-a-tink-a-doo. Guys, missing the best part.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Do you mind signing off the radio?